In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We remember the Apostle Paul before Governor Felix. You know what he wants. He wants his conversion. Oh, yes, he's preaching to Felix. He's preaching about the way. He's preaching about the blood. He's preaching about Jesus. It is Paul's life to preach Christ. He says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Paul is before Governor Felix. And he has accusations from the Jews that he is doing things to destroy the law. I'm looking at the 24th chapter of the Acts, verse 10. The governor, that's Felix, then motioned for Paul to speak. Paul said, "I know, sir, that you have been a judge of Jewish affairs for many years, so I gladly present my defense before you. You can quickly discover that I arrived in Jerusalem no more than 12 days ago to worship at the temple." Remember that the Lord said to him to go to Jerusalem, but that many downfalls are awaiting him. People are going to be after him. "My accusers never found me arguing with anyone in the temple, nor stirring up a riot in any synagogue or on the streets of the city. These men cannot prove the things they have accused me of doing. But I admit that I follow the way." Hallelujah. I admit that I follow Jesus. I admit that I follow grace. I admit that I follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which they call a cult. I worship the Lord of our ancestors, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the prophets. So Paul's telling you he is a Jew, and he believes the word of God, and he believes the prophets. "I have the same hope in God that these men have, that he will raise both the righteous and the unrighteous from the dead. Because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and the people." So Paul states that he's a Pharisee because he believes in the resurrection of the dead. "After several years away, I returned to Jerusalem with money to aid my people and to offer sacrifices unto God." Always the city of Jerusalem was always taken care of by the other people, like in Corinth and in Philippi, and now Paul brings money for them and to offer sacrifices to my God. "My accusers saw me in the temple as I was contemplating or completing a purification ceremony. There was no crowd around me and no rioting, but some Jews from the province of Asia were there, and they ought to be here to bring charges if they have anything against me. Ask these men here what crime the Jewish High Council found me guilty of, except for the one time I shouted out, 'I am not on trial before you today because I believe in the resurrection of the dead.'" We remember when Paul said that, he had a whole group of Sadducees and Pharisees together, and the Pharisees said, he believes what we believe, and the Sadducees said, "No, he doesn't believe what we believe. We do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and we do not believe in angels." But the Pharisees said, "Well, what if an angel appeared to him?" You see, Paul knows how to get one group against another. Same thing with the man at the beautiful gate. Everybody knew that the man at the beautiful gate was crippled. And Paul just states the whole point that it wasn't anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified in the name of Jesus that healed the man, and that the Pharisees and Sadducees were there. And again, there's another fight because Paul believes in the resurrection of the dead. "At that point, except for the one time I shouted out, I am on trial before you today because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. At that point, Felix, Governor Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, you know, Paul wants his soul, adjourned the hearing and said, wait until Lysias, the garrison commander, arrives. Then I will decide the case. He ordered the officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. Again, Paul is under house arrest. And not only is under house arrest, he is able to have his Christian friends come to him. And he, what do you think he does? Preaches in season and out of season in that house arrest. People were allowed to come and visit him. And what do you think he's doing? He's building up the body of Christ. People say, you know, we want to see Paul. Well, you've got to go to Caesarea on the Mediterranean, and you'll find Paul. And Paul is there encouraging the believers, preaching to the believers, doing what he knows what he's cast to do. But he ordered the officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. A few days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla. Sounds like something out of a comedy thing, who was Jewish, sending for Paul. They listened as he told them about faith in Jesus Christ. You see, this is Paul's motive, to preach Jesus to the governor. And you know, when he gets to Rome, it is Paul's motive to preach to Caesar about Jesus and salvation. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. "Go away for now," he replied. "When it is more convenient, I will call you again." You see, Paul was talking to him, heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? Jesus saves us from hell. You don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to go to hell. So Felix became frightened. "Go away for now," he replied. "When it is more convenient, I will call you again." Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him, so he sent him quite often and talked with him. After 2 years in this house arrest went by in this way, Felix was succeeded by Festus, and because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison. It's all about politics. We see what's happening in Washington. It's all about politics. That Obama had that man released from where he was held prisoner, and he let go of five murderers. And you know, it was all about politics, but it's backfiring in his face, because people are saying that the man he released he left the compound, and he was a traitor. And poor Obama is in the middle of all this. You know, he never ever carries things through. You never should have released him for five people, and he was a deserter. Now we're finding out all this stuff. It's all about politics. All about politics. 3 days after Festus arrived in Caesarea, that's Caesarea by the Mediterranean, to take over his new responsibilities, he left for Jerusalem, where the leading priests and other Jewish leaders met with him and made the accusations against Paul. They asked Festus as a favor to transfer Paul to Jerusalem, planning to ambush him and kill him on the way. Oh yeah, they hate him. They hate him because he is preaching Jesus. Jesus said, if they did these things to me, they will do these things to you. Paul is under conviction by the Jews. They want him dead. But Festus replied that Paul was at Caesarea and he himself would be returning there soon. So he said, those of you in authority can return with me. If Paul has done anything wrong, you can make your accusations. About 8 or 10 days later, Festus returned to Caesarea on the Mediterranean, and on the following day, he took his seat in court and ordered that Paul be brought in. Now, what do you think Paul's going to do? He's going to testify to Jesus. In season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient, he's going to testify to Jesus. When Paul arrived, the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem gathered around and made many serious accusations that they couldn't prove. Just like with Jesus, they made accusations, but they couldn't prove them. Paul denied the charges. I am not guilty of any crime against the Jewish laws or the temple or the Roman government, he said. Then Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked him, are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there? But Paul replied, no, this is the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. You know very well that I am guilty of harm. You know very well that I am not guilty of harming the Jews. If I have done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if I am innocent, no one has the right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar. Here we go again. Paul wants to appeal to Caesar, who thinks he's a god. Caesar thinks he's a god. And you know what happens? This is where Paul is going to die, in Rome. But Paul wants to witness to Caesar. A few days later, King Agrippa arrived with his sister, Bernice, to pay their respects to Festus. During their stay at several days, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. There is a prisoner here, he told him, whose case was left for me by Felix. When I was in Jerusalem, the leading priests and Jewish elders pressed charges against Paul and asked me to condemn him. I pointed out to them that Roman law does not convict people without a trial. They must be given an opportunity to confront their accusers and defend themselves. You know what I'm saying? That's supposedly should be happening with priests who have been accused of things, to face their accusers, but that's not been done. That's not been done. But you see, that's even the Roman law said that Paul had to face his accusers and speak to them and speak about his life. When the accusers came here for the trial, I didn't delay. I called the case the very next day and ordered Paul to be brought in. But the accusations made against Paul weren't any of the crimes I expected. Instead, it was something about their religion and a dead man named Jesus, who Paul insists is alive. A dead man, all right. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has conquered the death. Jesus has conquered death, the grave, and the devil. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Paul says Jesus is alive. I tell you, he is alive. Do you know today that Jesus is alive? That it's not a myth? As I said to the people on Sunday, we are not talking about Mickey Mouse. We are not talking about Donald Duck. We are talking about Jesus Christ, who has taken our sins on the cross and who has been raised from the dead. We are talking about this Jesus who will pour out the Holy Spirit upon believers. That's who we're talking about. We are not talking about a myth. We are not talking about a cartoon. We are talking about the reality of Jesus Christ. Instead, it was something about their religion and the dead man named Jesus, who Paul insists is alive. I tell you, Jesus Christ is not dead. I remember a professor at Boston College that said, write down on your piece of paper the most influential dead man. And most of the people were nuns and people that were priests. And guess who they wrote? Jesus. And when he got the papers, he said, don't you know the tomb is empty? Don't you know that Jesus rose from the dead? Jesus is not dead. This is Peter Kreft. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. He is not dead. He is alive. I was at a loss to know how to investigate these things, so I asked him whether he would be willing to stand trial on these charges in Jerusalem. But Paul appealed to have his case decided by the emperor, so I ordered that he be held in custody until I could arrange to send him to Caesar. I'd like to hear the man myself, Agrippa said. And Festus replied, you will tomorrow. So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice arrived at the auditorium with great pomp, accompanied by military officers and prominent men of the city. So here they come in. It's like a procession. Festus ordered that Paul be brought in. Then Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are here, this is the man whose death is determined by all the Jews, both here and in Jerusalem. But in my opinion, he has done nothing deserving death. However, since he appealed his case to the emperor, I have decided to send him to Rome. This is exactly what Jesus told Paul, that he would go to Rome and that he would witness in Rome. Everywhere that Paul goes, he witnesses his conversion and he witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. He is just, he's got his blinders on. He's not looking to the left, not looking to the right. He's looking straight and he's going to preach to people whether they want to hear it or not. What shall I write the emperor? For there is no charge against him. So I have brought him before you, and especially you, King Agrippa, so that after we examine him, I might have something to write. For it makes no sense to send prisoners to the emperor without specifying the charges against him. They have no charges against Paul. Paul wants to witness, and he wants to witness in Rome. He wants to witness to Caesar. He wants to tell him of the way. He wants to tell him of Jesus. How are we that bold that we want to tell people about Jesus? Are we that bold that we want to pray with people no matter who they are and ask God to do something for them? Are we that bold like St. Paul? Or do we shrink back and think, you know, I'm not going to do this because what if they're not healed? It's not my business that they're not healed. It's the business of God. A woman came to us who had a tumor in her brain, and she says, you know, I just kicked Satan out of my head. She said, my tumor has shrunk 85%. Hallelujah. Isn't that well? Isn't that good? She comes every week for the last 3 weeks. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. God moving in our midst. Are we as bold as Paul? Not much. Are we as bold to talk about Jesus? I know it's easy to talk about the church, but what about Jesus? What about his cross? What about his blood? What about his resurrection? What about how he justifies those through grace? Amen. What about Jesus? Who is testifying to Jesus? I'll never forget being before the courts, and I remember my being afraid and decided to not take the case onward, so I had to pay a court cost. And you know what? The Lord told me, you'll have another chance. That's it. Another chance to witness to Jesus in the courts. Well, right now, Paul is before Agrippa. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you may speak in your own defense. So Paul, gesturing with his hands, started his defense. I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today. He's not stupid. He wants to get on the good side of King Agrippa. That you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jews and the Jewish leaders. For I know you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. You now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood. He was taught by the great man Gamaliel. Yes, he was. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul was a Jew of Jews. Paul could trace his heritage to the tribe of Benjamin, the only tribe that was born in the Holy Land. So Jewish training from my earlier childhood among my own people in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strict sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. Who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? His name is Jesus. I am on trial because of my hope in Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of God's promises made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, that they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? Hallelujah! Why does it seem incredible? That's what the Pharisees believed. I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Yep, he had Stephen killed. He had people put in prison. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem, authorized by the leading priest. I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them that they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues, get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. So we see that Paul was like a vigilante trying to destroy anyone who believed in Jesus. This is real. This is real. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest. You see, this is what Paul is going to tell Agrippa and Bernice about his conversion, about the light that shone around him. Oh yes, what does he want? He wants Agrippa and Bernice to believe in Jesus. Why do you think he's giving his witness? Because he wants Bernice and Agrippa to believe in Jesus. What about you? When was the last time you used your witness that God was working through you? I'm not only talking about what he did at the beginning, but what he's doing now. Yesterday, I had Eleanor on radio and on television yesterday. We did two broadcasts, and Eleanor was talking about all the things that God is doing now, not only what he did in 2000 when she was converted, but when God was moving now. I tell you, it's all about the now. One day I was on a mission to Damascus, armed with authority and the commission of the leading priest. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will." "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet." We'll go on tomorrow, but I want you to know Paul is doing this because he wants Agrippa's conversion. He's telling his testimony. And if I remember what Paul Agrippa's going to say, he said, "If you keep on talking, I'm going to become a believer." And Paul says, "Would that you become a believer, but not in the chains that I'm be wearing." I'm telling you that Paul was sold out. He was sold out. And how many people do we have sold out to Jesus? How many people do we have that are really sold out to Jesus and that give their testimony and that are walking the way of the cross and the way of the resurrection? How many people? And you know what? The word is not much, not much, not much. We see people that are falling and going to hell, and we don't even give our testimony. We don't even tell them that it's all about Jesus, that he can forgive their sins. Not much, let me tell you, not much. Not much. We're not doing very much at all. And you know, we are living in terrible times. Terrible times. I want to invite you, between July 20th and 26th, 2014, to the School of the Holy Spirit. You are invited to come to the School of the Holy Spirit. We are going to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. What is that atmosphere? Praise and worship. Maria Vadia will be there. I will be there. And there'll be other guests there. You are asked to come and be part of the School of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be there every day. The School of the Holy Spirit runs from the 20th I believe, which is on a Sunday, to the 26th, which is on a Saturday. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So many people have been blessed by this School of the Holy Spirit. We have people coming from Kentucky. Imagine, they're coming from Kentucky, and they won't come from Winthrop. Maybe a few will come from Winthrop, but not many. So I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit. And if you are interested, you can register online, and it's this way, daysofglory.org/School of the Holy Spirit. daysofglory.org/School of the Holy Spirit. You are welcome to come. If you'd like to make a telephone call and tell someone that you are interested, you call 617-846-1210. It's 617-846-1210. We need people like St. Paul. Father, raise up men and women like St. Paul that are sold out to Jesus Christ, that only know one thing, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he heals, and he saves, and he delivers, because he's the Lord who conquered sin and death. Father, raise up young people who want to give their life to Jesus Christ. And tomorrow I'll talk about young people that I'm interested in, and I'm able to share the anointing that God has given me. So I say to you, God bless you now.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.